Okay, good. All right, before the board itself asks any questions of staff, I wanted to give Congressman Farr the opportunity to approach the board and give us his comments. And then, Mr. Sanchez, you had also requested time, and I would invite then any of our other elected representatives who would like to come up immediately following Mr. Sanchez. If you wish to speak now, that'll be fine. If you want to wait till later, that's also okay. I'll leave it up to you. Congressman.
Thank you very much, Chairman Young, and thank you, members of the board. Thank you for your public service. My name is Sam Farr. I'm a member of Congress, and I represent Monterey, Santa Cruz, and San Benito counties in the 17th Congressional District. One of my roles in Congress is to serve as the ranking member on the Ag Appropriations Committee. That's a committee that funds all of the Department of Agriculture and the FDA. And in that role, I've heard every single issue there is about agriculture in America, in particular the interest now in water quality in other states. Big, huge problems in the Mississippi Delta, Mississippi River Basin, Chesapeake Bay. One of the things I've seen in my public service of being a county supervisor, a state assembly member, and a member of Congress in public office since 1975 is that when we really have here in the Central Coast not only the incredible amount of agriculture that is feeding this nation, it's about 70% of all the fresh fruits and vegetables in the world, or out in the United States, come from here. And it's a huge, huge economic engine. But it only works when we work together. And I brag about the fact that we here in the Central Coast, we've been able to come up with solutions, like the, as mentioned by the staff, the Central Coast Vineyard Team, the Leafy Green Marketing Order, which essentially was all private sector driven, came up overnight, an incredible enforcement program quality on the health quality of leafy greens. The waiver, when we first started that, it was all voluntary, and it ended up being 9 county wide. The program with the first flush and studying all of the streams and all the other additional programs that have worked very successfully, the staff just mentioned. Nitrate contamination is a huge problem. It's a serious problem. But remember, the Salinas Valley was first farmed by dairies. Hundreds of dairies, wall-to-wall dairy farms. That dates back 160 years. There's been a lot of buildup since then, and I remember this discussion when I was on the Board of Supervisors in Monterey County in the 1970s. It's a problem that's going to take, as staff has suggested, it's going to take, and the reports that you've just seen, the Davis report and the Huertos report, takes good science to know where the problem is, and it takes a technical way to clean it up. Your board member, Bruce Delgado, really knows that system from Fort Ord because we had contaminants in the groundwater there. We have a pumping, and we clean up the water and recharge it, and it's going to probably take 20, 30 years to clean up that aquifer. We also have huge problems out there with unexploded ordnances, and we haven't been able to solve those in a moment. And I really felt the staff passion in telling you, you know, we got to get this done. But frankly, this isn't a staff-driven project. You're the political responsibility to listen to the community and get it done. And we've got to get it done in a collaboration. I mean, as pointed out, it only will work, all of this contamination, because in your mandate, your mandate, it seems to me, is the mandate about restoring. I saw that in your responsibility. Guarding water quality, but also restoring it. And this can't be done overnight. It can't be done at all without the landowners and the growers on that land. They have got to be part of this solution. And all I've learned in my life of politics, and certainly being a father and a grandfather, is that there are no absolutes. Until you can work down and work it out. And so my coming down here today was just to urge the board to take whatever time you need to get this so that it will work. It's not going to work in a penalistic way. Leafy Green Marketing Order is a great example of a thorough, thorough examination reporting, all voluntary. But that now is the model for the whole nation. And you ought to see the pushback from other states. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. And the industry came up with it. In fact, the industry came before our committee and said, please regulate us. We're going to give you some suggestions. And now we hope that will become a national order. So we can do it here. We have the capability. We have the wherewithal in the growers that are sitting behind me and others in our environmental community. And I just know that the only time these things actually work is when you use a carrot and a stick. But in this case, restoration is going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of carrots, and it's going to take cooperation of the farmers. And I urge whatever order you come up with, that it works for them. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Mayor Delgado.
Yeah, can I ask you a couple questions, Sam?
Better pull that mic.
I don't know, my business, you have to ask the chair if you can ask me a question.
I did that
yeah,
already. Okay.
Yeah, he did. He's okay, but please refer to him as Congressman Farr.
Sir.
Sir.
No, you didn't drop all that.
Sam, you, you mentioned the legacy of decades of land use leading up to today, and I don't know if you were here earlier, but were you here when you heard the 2011 Lawrence Livermore study cited saying that the pollution is legacy, as you've mentioned, and also recent, that the contamination levels they're finding are in part due to ongoing land use in addition to the legacy? I'm just wondering if you caught that.
Yes, and in fact, in looking at the Davis report, so-called Davis and the executive summary, actually I tore that page out, I didn't bring it in. But I remember that of the last recommendations on there, the ninth one talks about, here it is. One of the problems is inconsistency and inaccessibility of data prevent an effective and continuous assessment. A statewide effort is needed to integrate diverse water-related data collection activities by many state and local agencies. I mean, many of the issues that were shown by staff of requiring plans and submission of data is done also by Leafy Green Marketing Order, done by different entities, the Vineyards Sustainable Vineyards Project, the Organic Standards Project, I mean, on and on. And I think that there's a lot of successes out there that seems to be less penalistic than this one. And I'm not a grower, and they can, and they, you know, part of it is that is sustainability. That's what we talk about. We all want that. It's an easy word to use. It's a hard word to implement. But the reality is, if indeed we want to sustain fresh, nutritious agriculture, which is what we're supposed to be eating in this country, part of our health care problems is to, you know, I say the farmers are the first responders to this new health care plan because the health care plan assumes that Americans will grow up healthier. Water quality is obviously a big issue. But if we don't sustain these growers in some cost-effective way through regulation, we're going to lose it all. And I think that would be, I mean, we grew up with agriculture, and I think we take so much for granted. Sometimes you have to get out of this system realizing how big it is. You know, California is still the number one ag state. No, there's nobody else in the United States that believes that. They don't think California is an ag state. We grow about 200 crops and commodities in this state that no other state grows. We're the only producer of almonds. We're the only producer, I think, of walnuts in the United States. So there's huge, huge crops and big international markets. China's running out of land. The future is to grow in California if you can afford to be in agriculture. So all this regulatory process, as you know, is in balance with how do you make it work. And my suggestion, I don't know all the specifics of it, but it seems to me that agriculture isn't trying to deny there's a problem. They're trying to, you know, they're working with you to try to figure out how do we get a workable solution so that we can both win.
Sam, Congressman Farr, when you mentioned that we don't want to be too penalistic, are there any examples of the kinds of penalties that you think are the problem? Or by penalistic, are you suggesting that the whole process is so onerous that it's sort of a surrogate for a penalty, even though, or are you worried about actual penalties?
No, it's the onerous part of it. I think that is, it seems to me there's more stick than carrot.
Okay. All right.
And I think it's going to work when you get more carrot.
Okay. And I,
I mean, the waiver you've been giving all these years has been phenomenal. Remember, that all started off voluntarily. That was not something that the board came up with and said, you got to do this. The regulations were out there, and they said, well, here's how we can do it, and here we'll need some waivers in order to do it, but we're working on it. So I think you've had a history that it's a very cooperative effort. Successful.
Thanks. My last question, and I know your time is valuable. Last year in February, you sent a very thorough letter to our board. I wasn't here then. And a couple months later in April, the board staff responded to your letter. And that back and forth communication included some of the concerns that you've mentioned today. And it also included some others that you didn't mention today, probably because you're not going to repeat everything you said a year ago. But my question is, since I thought that the response to your letter was a pretty good response, I'm wondering if since then, if your staff decided to engage or not engage in further discussions since you got the response.
I'm not sure I understand the question, but
that you had some concerns expressed last year, and then there was a response to those concerns. Since then, has there been any discussion or desire for discussion?
I think, frankly, the work that the staff has been doing with the community has been very progressive. It's been work in progress. I think that the frustration now is that the sort of mandate that we got to do it now, the time is run. Staff works for you, not the other way around. And it's your decision, is this good enough to be adopted? I mean, when you have that feeling that, and it will work, I mean, it's the bottom line here is not coming up with a regulatory system. It's coming up with a process that will work. And it may take more time. It may take tweaking. And I think there's been some good progress made, and I'm not sure that today is that's all. This is not your final day, I hope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congressman, I guess some of them are not done with you yet. Mr. Johnson?
This is what happens when you're responsible for $100 billion of your taxpayer
money.
That's
right. Did you bring a bag with you today?
No, you usually have to ask me for it.
You brought the checkbook, right, Congressman? look, Congressman Farr, I very much understand staff's frustration with the fact that resources have been being diverted for a long time on this. It's been a very difficult process, and I, as much as anyone, want to get this resolved. I agree with you. We should approve it when we have the right order. I guess my concern is, and I agree with you, frankly, that to the extent that we can promote collaboration, it's better. My concern is, as I've been trying to review a 2-foot-tall stack of record from the last 4 years, and going back and forth with our legal counsel, what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is that some elements of what Ag is proposing that appear to be non-negotiable, elements that involve withholding virtually all information about what's actually being done in terms of management practices from the board, no real way that the board can participate in a feedback mechanism to figure out what's working, what isn't, and to understand that, and to understand who's implementing and who isn't.
Can I respond?
And no
to that?
Way for individual dischargers to be accountable. Mm. I mean, what I'm being told by legal staff, or what we're being told by legal staff, is that those are violative of the law. And I got my law degree at Kmart. I mean, I'm not in much position to argue those questions, unless it's I understand their legal opinions, legal advice, but still, it's pretty high bar for us as a board to say we disagree with that. So I just want to make it clear, I mean, our problem is it does no good to say, or at least my view of our problem, it does no good to say let's give a bunch of additional time to negotiate if there are fundamental issues that appear to be non-negotiable in terms of Ag's view as far as what they're willing to do and in terms of the law as far as what it requires. So I'm looking for some help here. I'd like to hear it.
Well, I always believe there's nothing that's never, you're a labor leader, there's nothing that's not negotiable. There are standard practices in what is proprietary information and how to handle that. There's a lot of requirements in law for proprietary information to be filed, and you just have to make sure that whatever standards. I think what the concerns I hear is more that the paperwork it takes to do that is just so onerous. It's not sort of, we're not in the they're not CPAs, they're growers. And how do you make a project that allows them to be cost effective in growing things rather than just having to be paper managers? So I don't know the answer to it. There is a way. There's what I always go to, and I think this whole issue is about what are the best management practices? You're in a new frontier. If there was some place in the United States that had solved this problem, you would be looking at it for models and for history. But you're in the first instance here. You're the first responders to how do we deal with this groundwater contamination, a very serious problem. And I think you just have to make sure that you can get it as good as you possibly get it. It's never perfect, and that's why you have a mending process that comes back. And now's the time to really try to make sure that if you're going to do this for the first time out, that you have a collaboration, because you would admit and you say that the only way it can be solved is if the people who are applying nitrates or monitoring water, applying water, or own the land where it's been contaminated for over 100 years, how do you get that cleaned up? You've got to have their cooperation. It seems to me, put out those objectives that you want to achieve and get their suggestions on how to solve them.
Well, maybe we'll hear today that some stuff that we think is not negotiable is negotiable, but I haven't heard it yet.
Okay. Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you. And I can call him Sam because I know Sam.
I'll call you Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We did the political stump many years ago, but I'll make my question very short to you. Is it your fear that, and I agree with you, we ought to offer more carrots than sticks. And I think I'm the only board member was here when we developed the 2004 order.
Except me.
Except you, Mr. Chair. And that's why you're chair now. I did a lousy job in 2004. But it was the environmental group, it was the agriculture group, and it was a staff that worked together and drove to complete the 2004 order. Mm-hmm. And as you said, to the response of Mr. Johnson, is that there was a lot of people worked together, and a lot of people looked at us at that particular time because we were able to achieve that order, and it wasn't something that we hit them over the head to make it happen. My question to you is your fear that if we overregulate the agriculture community, and it's a very important economic business within this state, and especially in Monterey County and all the counties in this area, that it will stymie the agriculture community and they will leave the state of California or even leave the United States?
Well, I don't think that this alone will drive that, but there's a lot of issues. There's accessibility of labor here, and as my grower friends tell me, there's no labor problems in Mexico. We can go there without having any shortage of labor. Mr. Myers moved his tomato operation to Mexico. I think he told me one time he had 70,000 employees. Those 70,000 could be here in the Central Coast, you know, for whatever reason he chose to grow in Mexico. So it's a cumulative issues. And obviously, you know, we get better, higher quality in California, and we've got a microclimate. You're not going to have a lot of other states being able to grow these products. But you're in a world competitive market, and everybody wants to grow value-added crops. We have a provision in federal law that says if you're in the commodities business, you're receiving some subsidies from the federal government, you're not allowed to go out and grow a specialty crop. Because you would be having, you have this safety net, sort of this insurance. Well, I'll harvest my wheat or my cotton or my rice and just try this fresh agriculture on the side. I'll try to grow strawberries. You can't do that. We prohibit you that. You either have to go into agriculture without any subsidies or stay in the commodities program. Remember, commodities can all be stored in silos. That's the reason you have the commodities program anywhere. You store cotton, you store wheat, you store beans, you store rice. And so what happened is that the people who were storing those crops told the farmers, we don't need your crop this year. We have enough from last year. So they had. We were trying. It was a food safety issue. How do we ensure that we'll have farmers there on the land? So we subsidized it in the commodity programs. We don't have that in agriculture. This is huge competition. So everything that goes into it is a cost, and it's not just water quality. You want it, I think what I'm trying to say, Mr. Jeffries, is that we look at the success we're built on. That was voluntary because one stated, here's the problem and we got to solve it. Will you come up with will you organize among the growers and meet these goals, these standards that you've created, the board created? And they did. In fact, all these other counties that were skeptical at first joined. They looked at Monterey County and said, it's working. They're not coming out and arresting us. They're not fining us. We're not going to jail. We'll get into this program. The only reason I'm here today is I want to continue that success.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Congressman Farr, and I really do appreciate having your time today and your perspective on these issues. And while I fully appreciate the economic issues at stake, I would really appreciate hearing from you regarding the other dimension of this, which weighs heavily, I think, before the board in terms of the decisions we have to make, and that concerns the health impacts of contaminated groundwater, and especially considering that we have more information now about where these sites are and relative to disadvantaged low-income communities, and in many cases, people relying on drinking water, private small drinking water, domestic wells. They are not even aware that they may be drinking contaminated water because we have no information. We have elders, we have children, we have mothers. And these people have recently, in the last year to 2 years, joined this discussion and brought these issues into full detail for us. And so my concern is how do we find the balance in implementing changes that are going to have the effects that we need to see to assure that people are drinking safe water. So please help me understand where can we find that path to assure that we are protecting those with the least ability to speak in this room.
Well, I've had the pleasure when I was a county supervisor sitting on the California Coastal Commission, the Air Resources Board, the Wastewater Board, which was our reclamation project,
right.
And some other regional environmental, monitoring boards. I also, as my first job on the board, had the pleasure of dedicating a remarkable farm housing unit, an old farm labor camp called San Gerardo.
Yes.
San Gerardo had awful water. It's contaminated. And it's taken until I think just these last few years to find a process to clean it up. So the response to your question is, yes, they're incredibly serious. What we ought to be doing is setting goals, objectives, and being able to use our grant process and our funding process to make sure that the projects to clean up those individual wells in rural areas. I mean, big commercial people can do it in the urban area. That's part of their rate. But in these, Monterey County has more mutual water companies and water purveyors than any other county in the United States. They have to meet the national water quality standards, which California has implemented. So I think you have in that law ways of addressing goals and objectives to address it. Nitrate is going to have to be cleaned up. It's going to have to be extracted from the water, and that's going to take very expensive filtering processes and other science that I'm not aware of. But you have some suggestions here. The Los Huertos report, and I think this Davis report, speaks to some ideas of how that could be done.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Congressman, just let me say that on behalf of the board, I don't think any of us suffer from an illusion that we're going to see immediate results. As to the legacy problems, we know they're there. They've been building up for decades. This is going to take time. None of us is going to expect immediate change in water quality data. This is a long-term process. We're fully aware of that. Nothing is probably going to show up in this permit cycle, except for the BMPs will get implemented. And in time, we would hope to see improvements to water quality. But we're not sitting here thinking, boom, in 5 years, we better see, you know, that kind of improvement. We know it's going to take a long time.
Well, I appreciate the role you have to play. It's a tough role. You've been appointed to this, to have this awesome responsibility. Right. I wish you well. As I said, it's the first instance, and the nation will be watching you. So I hope we can get it right.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Sanchez.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for the courtesy and for allowing us the opportunity to address you. I know you have a long day, so we really appreciate that. My name is Sergio Sanchez. I am the district director for Assemblymember Luis Alejo. He represents over 500,000 people in the counties of Monterey, San Benito, Santa Clara, and Santa Cruz counties. A good majority of them farm workers, a good majority of them farmers. So it's definitely an issue he's very concerned about. And with your permission and indulgence, I'd like to read you some of his comments and share some additional information with you. This is a letter addressed to you, Mr. Young. Chairman Young, again, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to address you one more time before you make the decision on the ag waiver. In my previous communications to you, I have shared my concerns regarding the proposed regulations, its impact in our region's agricultural industry, but I'm especially concerned about the impact of small farmers and their future should these regulations be approved, as proposed. Specifically, Assemblymember Alejo, myself, and other staff have met with small farmers and all kinds of farmers. And the biggest fear, and I'm going to share a little bit of a comment from one of them that said, in the days when I used to be a farm worker and I was undocumented working in this area, I fear being picked up by the immigration, what we call a migra. And he says, but I always knew what I was going to end up. I was going to end up back in Mexico, and I knew how I could come back. So my fear was short term. That fear compared to my fear now as a farmer, that I could eventually lose my farm and not know where the water board's decisions are going to take me, that's the biggest fear that I have faced, because I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know when I'm going to return, and I don't know how I'm going to get back. And that's just directly from one of their comments. What staff fails to address and to inform you of is the impact on those folks that are sitting on the Tier 2 and Tier 3 that are going to be the most impacted, and that is the small farmer. That is the farm worker that made it. Now he's got a little piece of land or a bigger land, and now he's an employer, and now he's an entrepreneur, and is trying to make ends meet. What staff fails to address is that sometimes language is a barrier. Technology is a barrier. I think the small farmer, the bigger farmer, is going to be able to deal with a lot of this stuff, and they're the ones, possibly they're not in this situation, but the small farmer is the one that's already on Tier 3, and it's going to be devastated by not, I mean, just the fear of filling out all that paperwork online is just causing tremendous chaos within that community. That becomes a real issue, and those are the folks that your staff has failed to inform you, because they have not shared the communications with them. They have not talked to them at length to figure out their fears and figure out how they're going to address their concerns, because literally what they're saying, should the regulations go as proposed, they're going to be wiped out. They're going to close their farms, and they're going to do exactly what Congressman Farr talked about. They're going to move down south and start in Mexico and start their farms, because there's a little bit more flexibility there. My final thoughts and concerns remain the same. I appreciate the changes to the proposed regulations your staff has suggested, as suggested by concerned parties, but the regulations as proposed will still impact agriculture significantly. Our region already faces many challenges, and even the remote possibility of the loss of agriculture jobs is unthinkable. I have also shared with you my support for the coalition approach by the agriculture representatives and also by Dr. Luz Huerto's study and report. I truly believe this approach is the most beneficial to the environment and to our region's water quality. It really addresses the issue of water quality. This approach allows for a collaborative effort amongst farmers, environmental advocates, and research community. As a region, we must do more than just monitoring water, but rather learn and apply new innovative practices that truly improve water quality. This approach is also the most reasonable and economical for all. The need for technical staff to monitor water quality and runoff, as proposed by staff, is unreasonable due to the lack of available technical staff to manage such a huge program. The coalition approach allows a different way to what the board wants to do, which is to improve water quality, but in a reasonable and achievable manner. This is really a win-win situation for all. I would sincerely appreciate that you seriously consider this approach as suggested by agriculture representative and by Dr. Los Huertos and your deliberations today. Again, thank you for your time and attention to this very important issue. I look forward to a positive decision from you and your board, and if you have questions, you can always call him. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. Any questions or comments?
Yes, Sergio, do you want to take any questions?
If you ask me tough questions, Mayor, I will defer them to the... No, just kidding. You can go ahead and ask me.
I think everyone's concerned about small farmers. We understand that they have less resources. Do you think that there's a lot of small farmers that would be in Tier 3?
I know there is. There's at least 300 farmers between tiers two and three, and the majority are ethnic minorities, either Hmong or Filipino or Latino. A good majority of them Latino. Yes, and that's a fact. It's not a. It's
okay.
We have ID'd those individuals.
Okay, and then it seems like a major point in Lewis Lake. Assemblyman Alejo's letter that you've read, and I think you agree, I can tell, that you're very concerned about this. A major point is that, I'm losing my thought process here, that what's being proposed by the agricultural community is more workable than what's being proposed by the draft ag waiver order that we have before us. And so my question is, because the ag alternative relies heavily on aggregated monitoring, and that's a major sticking point, whereas the ag order draft relies mostly on monitoring that can eventually be attributed to individual farms, that we're hearing it's not workable to do it in aggregate because we'll never know where the problem is coming from. And the law requires that we're able to track it to individual farms to be able to monitor the effectiveness that each farm is implementing new practices to reduce their contributions if they're going to an impaired water body, for instance. So my question is, how is it workable in your mind to do an aggregate monitoring effort if our laws that we're required to follow require us to know on an individual basis?
Thank you for the question. I think what we have found
is that, Mr. Sanchez,
yes.
you don't have to answer that. Okay.
It wasn't a tough question.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. As to the non-parties, these are people giving us kind of public comments, more policy statements. I think we should not really engage in a kind of a cross-examination, asking them to respond to our questions so much.
Well, it's really important to me that our elected officials are telling us something's unworkable, so I'm just trying to flesh it out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
With your permission,
sure.
I could answer. What we have found is a lot of these folks that I addressed in the letter do not belong to the bigger groups, like the Farm Bureau or the Growers and Shippers or the different associations, just because of the resources, because of just the outreach, just like it happens with any other service, any other program. It's hard for them to get involved in this kind of stuff. This approach has explained to them by different people, they get this, and they find it easier to to begin the compliance and to begin the process, because it's a huge fear and nightmare for them to begin this process in hiring the different technical staff. I mean, just the fact that it went from a paper report to actually going online, I mean, that created humongous fear and chaos amongst them, because they don't have computers like that. They don't, you know, people think that everybody has email and everybody does website stuff. No, not everybody does that, and it's very hard for those departments. So this approach actually brings them together, but what they really get excited about, they could actually learn from each other. And you're right about the fact that it doesn't go individually, but they learn together, because they would actually, for once, as small agriculture and ethnic minorities belonging to this industry, they would actually be included into these kinds of groups and learn from each other. And even if they know that the neighbor, because there's a lot of communication amongst them, and for the first time ever, actually they're coming together as Latino strawberry growers and some different ethnic minority groups. They're coming together because of this. So it forces them to come together, and now for the first time are talking to each other, and so as they learn what their experiences and how they monitor and how they go through their rotation, they are going to learn from each other, because they will share information, and this is the best way that they can see that is more affordable, more economical, and more efficient. And they could actually get them to do, because if they are the ones that are at the tier three, which is the most that creates the most impact in the environment, that those are the ones that we need to address, and you need to really go out of your way and how do you bring them in, rather than put them in an individual monitoring process. So I hope I address your question.
Thank you very much.
Let me suggest this. Do you have a list of the 300 small farmers?
We could get that to you.
Why don't you provide it to staff?
Okay.
And they can, you know, make sure. Well, if they want help, if they want assistance,
yeah.
Okay, and based on the concerns you've expressed, to make sure that there's no communication lapses, that they understand that they can get questions answered, then that would be my recommendation, to make sure that staff knows who you're concerned about, especially if there's people that have contacted your office.
Sure.
And have felt out of the loop.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to address.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can definitely work with you.
Thank you
that.
Very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.